Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, in here with another episode of my co-host, Ryan Catchings.
Absolutely. Man, let me tell y'all, vacation was great, but I am glad to be back.
Yes. Listen, y'all, it's been too long, all right? We took off, what was that? Was that Sunday and?
Off Sunday and Monday, but
Sunday
it feels
and
like,
Monday.
I mean, it just feels like weeks.
It does. It does, but we're back and excited to be here, and we're going to come back and make up for every single day that we have missed with this guest that we got in here rocking with us today, because we brought in here some Atlanta royalty in here with us today.
Facts.
Yeah, we're not going to be humble today, y'all.
Yeah.
All right? We in here with Pastor Brian Meadows. Welcome to Hardly Initiated.
What it do? What it do? Yeah, I like that. Atlanta royalty. A lot of people don't know I was born and raised in Atlanta, so that means a lot. I appreciate it.
I was excited. Yeah. We low-key from the same neighborhoods bit. Yeah, I found out you over there at McNair High School.
100%, yeah. 2004.
Honestly, the whole time we were speaking to you, you know, before we got started, I just felt, I really wanted to say, man, you got that East Side, that East Atlanta, that East Atlanta energy.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Down to earth, but, you know, still able to take over the world.
Still real, too. That's the thing. Because some special people come from that way, man. So I knew it.
Yes.
I knew that's had to been what it was. So glad to have Atlanta native on the platform.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me, man. I'm excited, ready to get into this conversation. I love you guys. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. The platform is popping. All the guests are awesome. So thank y'all so much for the invitation.
And look, we add you to the list, y'all. See what we in here talking about. We put here the spirituality of sex.
Oh my God.
On this joint. Y'all know y'all need this one here, all right? Because sex is to some degree, a little bit of all of us is struggling with this joint here. So we all need this one. I'm very excited about this one here for you. Before we get into the actual word itself, let's go ahead and tell the people what we got going on.
Listen, I'm gonna make it quick because I need this ministry. I was telling Tyshawn, I was like, man, God knew that sex demon been on my back. So I need you. I need you.
Oh, that's
But real quick, guys, listen, no show December 31st. We want to bring in New Year's with the fam and loved ones. And we want to have a good time. We want you to have a great time too. So we're going to take the evening off and we're going to be right back on Monday he's a HI legend at this point.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Y'all already know how we doing. Pastor James get rocking up in here. And we doing all things new. That's going to be this Monday. We're going to start the year right. We're going to give y'all something that you want to start the year off right with. That's going to be Monday at 8 p.m. Y'all know how we do it. Yep. So we're going to be back on our regular scheduled program. Now that all these holidays is out the way.
Once that's over, guys, starting January 7th, we are 3 times a week live episodes. And this is the thing. We got the memo. We're going to be spicing up the channel. We're bringing all new episodes. And I don't know if y'all can tell this, but the pressure has been relieved. Because once we solidified the vision and really made a decision to service the people who supported us most, which is everybody listening at home right now, everything has been so much easier, man. So we've got some great things coming for y'all. Just be patient.
Yeah, be patient. But no longer worry about being patient right now because we about to get to it right now. All right? And I'm excited to talk about this topic here.
100.
Because I remember we hopped on the phone before the show and game planned a little bit. And as soon as you told me that and said that phrase, I was like, I got literally started getting goosebumps because I knew how exciting it was going to be to jump into this topic here.
Yeah.
First of all, how'd you even come up with the concept of the spirituality of sex?
Yeah, well, I mean, ever since I was a child, I was really, really spiritual. And by spiritual, you know, the word spiritual can have a lot of different connotations. But John chapter 4 says God is a spirit. And when it says spirit, it's more so talking about the unseen or the invisible realm. So when we talk about the spiritual realm, we're talking about the realm that you can't see. So that's thoughts, words, feelings, energy, emotions, all of that. Those things are not seen. They have to be revealed. So when I was a kid, man, I was very drawn inward with meditation and prayer. I was always spiritual. I ended up becoming a Buddhist. I ended up converting to Buddhism when I was about 8 years old, practiced Buddhism for 8 years. I was a vegan,
wow.
I meditated, did martial arts, did the whole thing. But I was radically saved in 2004 from a visitation from the Lord Jesus. So after that, that spirituality just spilled over into my Christianity. I was very, very spiritual in the sense that I didn't want to just go to church. I wanted to make sure that this stuff worked. You know what I mean? I came from martial arts. I came from a degree of pragmatism where things had to work. So when I got into Christianity, I wanted to understand the science behind prayer. I wanted to understand the mechanics behind impartation. Like, what is preaching all about? Like, when the scripture talks about the foolishness of preaching, confounding the wise, how does that happen? So it just made me really delve into the scripture. And one of the most significant topics throughout the scripture is intimacy, relationships, sex, and sexuality. So as I start to study that, I start to understand that there was something behind the interaction between man and woman. There was something behind that. Whether it was purpose or perversion, there was something pushing people to interact the way that they did. So I wanted to study that. You know, I was interested in that. And the more I did that, I've been saved now since 2004. I've been pastoring. I've been in ministry since 2005. I've been pastoring since 2011. So that entire time, counseling couples, doing marriages, marriage counseling, divorce counseling, it just gave me a different view and a different perspective of sex and sexuality.
Wow. Yeah. So you hit it from the marriage counseling part on the front end before, like premarital?
Yeah.
And then the divorce.
Yeah. Because a lot of times divorce is usually three main issues. It's usually money, sex, communication, something like that. And so a lot of times when you're dealing with issues, when you're dealing with contention in a person's relationship or marriage, intimacy and sex is usually the primary thing. So yeah, you got to deal with sex a lot. Yeah. So we start to try to make sure we're dealing with the spirituality of sex. So everything I'm saying, I'm thinking about four or five things, but we hit it on the front end. Pause. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
We try to deal with it on the front end to make sure that, you know, at least expectations are clear, you know, at least some type of standards are established, some type of expectations and needs are established so that when they get into the marriage bed, they at least know what to do. Yeah.
Man, so you got a realm of knowledge here, premarital counseling, divorce counseling. Yes. The whole gambit.
Yes.
Have you, and this is just a side note here, absolutely random, but have you ever seen a client come in for premarital and you had to serve them for divorce as well?
Same person?
Is that
yet,
a trick question?
Close. Not yet.
No. He said close.
Not yet, right. But close. Yeah, I've married some people that marriages went through some difficult situations. I've seen people come in married that were great. I'm talking about like communication, interaction, sex, intimacy, everything was working and they still got a divorce. So I've seen the gamut of relationships from good, bad, ugly, all that. Yeah.
So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
This is going to be fun. It is. Because when we're talking about the spirituality of sex, I love, by the way, you walked me into how you were able to come up with that, the ideation of the concept itself. And from you ideating and delving into it, you know, what were your, how do you even define, what would you, you know, call the, or define as the spirituality of sex?
Yeah. It's really making sure that you are intentional and you're looking for a level of competence and mastery on the things, again, that we cannot see, not just the physical part, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But intimacy, foreplay, whether it's affirmation, your communication, gentleness, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about the gifts of the Spirit, which are great, but Galatians chapter 5 tells us about the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is a word called gentleness. And that's needed, especially as men, we're very aggressive. But the scripture calls the woman the weaker vessel. That word weaker doesn't mean less in rank or value. It means fragile. A woman is fragile. She has a level of fragility, which is good. We want a woman that is fragile, that is feminine.
Right.
Trauma hardens a person. So that's why most of the time we meet a person, they have a shell, they have their guards up, because through trauma, through experiences, through disappointment, through discouragement, they've learned to put up their guard. So a lot of times when we're interacting with a female, the female may have a level of hardness, but it's because of what she's been through.
Yeah.
She's only going to be fragile around somebody she can trust. She's only going to be fragile around somebody that she has some level of trust with, some level of, you know, cachet with, some level of history with, and then she can let her guard down. But a lot of times when a woman lets her guard down and she is fragile, a man is not gentle enough to manage her because we're aggressive. We're heavy handed in everything that we do. Even if we compliment a woman, we're going to be heavy handed. If we correct a woman, we heavy handed. So just learning how to be gentle, not just with her physically, but with her mentally and emotionally. So that's what we mean when we talk about the spirituality of sex. We're talking about you going beyond the physical and really becoming a master and a student of what people can't see.
How do I master that? So what's the aspects,
yeah,
the components of this joint,
yeah,
so I can know what it is I actually need to go about mastering it?
Well, hear me. The scripture says, dwell with a woman according to knowledge, right? Knowledge, gnesko. It literally means to have an intimate understanding of a person. So that takes observation. That takes studying. That takes communication. That takes listening. And hear me, that takes time. See, the problem is you can't get gnesko or you can't get knowledge with a one-night stand.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Overnight. Just in a month or even in a quarter. It takes going through seasons with a person for you to understand the stuff that people cannot see. Everybody can see certain stuff. Everybody can see her lips, her tips, her fingertips, her hips and all the different kinds of stuff. People can see that, but they don't know her hurt. They don't know her pain. They don't know her distrust. They don't know her loyalty. They don't know that type of stuff. And that takes time. And if you're dating randomly, it takes hard to build up that knowledge with 18 different people or 10 different people or 5 different people. So a lot of times this type of understanding or this type of knowledge is rarely seen outside of marriage. You understand? So it does take a commitment and it does take loyalty and it does take a longevity and faithfulness with a person for you to unlock that unseen part, for you to be able to study it and observe it. Because a lot of times you're dating an imposter, right? You're dating the best version. No, that's true, because people put up their best version of themselves,
right?
Not just the first date, but a lot of times in the dating stage, they only want you to see the good stuff. They don't tell you about the debt, and they don't tell you about the depression. They don't tell you about the mental illness that runs in their family. But these are the conversations we should be having while we're dating to determine, do we want to go further in the dating process? Because we may be wasting time with somebody we really don't want to commit with or commit to. You know what I mean? So that type of information is usually locked until there's a level of commitment and loyalty, which comes usually after the I do.
I like that so much.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I already knew I was doing it the wrong way, but you breaking it down that way lets me really know the situation. And let me ask you this, because man, it's so crazy. I just need so much help with this. I'm not even gonna lie to you, because the thing is, I've tried to position myself to think so many different get arounds around just not having sex with women I don't have a commitment to.
Yeah.
I've tried the friends, the casual situation. I've tried letting them know, daily reminders, the situation. I've tried literally every, I've tried the, hey, maybe I don't know you. And, and maybe I try random. I've tried every single thing.
Yeah.
And I just can't get away from, I should not be doing this.
Yeah, I got you.
But but I understand all of the risk. Like, I understand that. I've been hearing that for a long time.
Yeah.
And I understand why it's a benefit. But I don't, I have yet to been able to adopt the mindset.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what is the mindset that I must have to see these things different.
Yeah.
Because right now, as risky as things are, I just feel like it's not scaring me enough.
I got you.
And I don't want to get to that point.
Yeah.
To where it's, I, it's something catastrophic comes
100%
from these situations. So what mindset do I need to be adopting to make a real change?
Man, that's okay. So this is a loaded conversation. It's hard to deal with perversion outside of purpose. A lot of times there is no pressure to deal with perversion if you don't understand your purpose. If you don't understand how detrimental perversion is to your purpose, then there's usually not pressure to address the perversion because I don't know what I was born to do. I don't know that what I'm doing is detrimental to my destiny and detrimental to my mental health and my emotional health and my spiritual health. And those things are needed for me to accomplish my purpose and my assignment. So it's just like an athlete, right? Anybody can drink soda and eat potato chips and eat cookies because they're not an athlete. Why am I trying to live that well if I'm not an athlete? I'm not going for a championship. But once you understand the race that you're running, once you understand the league that you're in, once you understand the arena that you are playing in, once you understand your purpose and your destiny and your assignment, then just like an athlete, man, I got to be careful about what I put in my body because I'm trying to win a race. Like, I don't want to just come in third or fourth or fifth. No woman wants to be with a loser, and not just a loser, because you can be a winner in a bedroom, but a loser in life. Like, you can be putting it down in the bedroom, but you ain't got no money, you ain't got no career, you ain't got no purpose, you don't know where your destiny is going, you're not growing. And so eventually a woman will leave a man who has good sex for a man that is growing in their purpose, in their calling, and in their business. So you just got to see the correlation between the perversion and purpose and how you're not able to truly be all that you're supposed to be, all that God wants you to be, because you're giving the best of yourself to people you're not committed to. If you're committed to God, right, you should be giving the best of yourself to him. Because hear me, okay, so sex, and we got a lot of different things that we could talk about, but I want to deal with the energy behind it, right? Number one, think about how much energy you're giving out, right? When you're having sex, think about how much perspiration, think about how much time. Now, think about the time that you need to develop your business, your calling, your assignment. Think about the time that you need to pray, you need to worship, you need to study. You've given out all of that energy. You've given out all of that perspiration. You've given out all of that passion. Passion is the fuel of purpose. Remember, you cannot accomplish your purpose without passion. But passion is also the fuel for sexuality or sex.
It is.
So whenever you're having sex, you're giving away your passion. That's why if you have good sex, what you want to do afterwards? Go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? You want to go to sleep because that's what you do after you've accomplished something, after you've won something. So that's what you should feel after you've accomplished your assignment at the end of a phenomenal day when you've been productive. But you got men that can't be productive in their purpose because they're giving all of their, can I, please? Y'all gonna bleep it or what?
No, listen, it's not even, nobody's, it's just us, it's three just right us. Now. It's just okay. us.
It's just the fellas talking right
I'm
now.
I'm telling you.
You told me to bring the rose. I forgot it. But no, but if you're giving all your passion in sex, you will have a lack of passion in purpose. You follow me? The only relationship that reciprocates passion when it's given is the marriage bed. That's why marriage is so important, because when you're giving the passion, it's a return. When you're serving her and she's serving you, as you're giving passion, she's giving passion. So you leave the marriage bed stronger. And if you notice that when you have sex, when you marry, you leave feeling, man, I'm on top of the world. I'm feeling good. You leave sex when you're not married, that thing is depleting. You lose energy. You lose dignity. You lose nobility. So now you don't even feel like accomplishing your purpose. Man, let me go find a blunt. Let me go find some alcohol because I need to drown out or medicate the fact that I feel like I've given the best of myself to a situation that ain't going to even become anything. So you got to preserve your passion. You got to guard your passion. The scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. There are so many people that are frustrated because they cannot accomplish. Like, why can't I get out of bed in the morning? Why don't I feel like working out? Why don't I feel like writing that book? All the passion, which is the fuel for your future, you've given out doing other things, whether it's masturbation, whether it's porn, whether it's sex, whether it's just no prayer, because prayer is one of the things that builds passion. So a lot of people have passion leaks, and that's why they're not able to accomplish their purpose.
Damn. First of all.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been to a lot of sermons. Okay. And I don't ever think I've heard a message specifically about sex and discipline.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of what is all inclusive of it. I literally just thought about that as many times.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So everything that you do with your body is spiritual. That's number one. We got to stop thinking that spirit just means like a ghost or just energy. Remember, Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He showed us that the apex of divinity is a composite of both physical and spiritual. So true spirituality is mastery over both the unseen world and the seen world.
Yes.
True spirituality is mastery over my emotions and my body. And it's only when I have mastery over my emotions and my body that I can actually accomplish my assignment. Most people are not doing what they want to do. They're doing what they're driven to do. Every action I make, I should be able to make soberly, clear-headed. I should be able to make intentionally, not based on a knee-jerk reaction on my passion, my perversion, my hurt, my issues, my trauma, my triggers. Nothing that I do should be uncontrollable. Everything that I should do should be based on my purpose, my destiny, and my decisions. And my decisions are a byproduct of my will. My will is the strength of my, get this, sin weakens the will. Will is the muscle of your decisions. If you're going to make a decision, you need willpower. I am going to work out. I am going to eat right. I am going to say no to sex. I am going to live consecrated. I'm going to be abstinent. That takes willpower. But sin weakens the will. Every time you say yes to something you should say no to, it weakens the will. Yep. Every time you say no to something you should say yes to, it weakens the will. It makes it harder for you to make a decision when you need to make a decision. That's why sin is so detrimental. We keep thinking that God doesn't want us to sin because sin is keeping us out of heaven. If you're born again, if you're blood bought, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven, but you may not be able to bring heaven here. You may not be able to accomplish Damn. Your purpose here because you don't have the will and the strength to do it because you're living in sin. God don't want you to not sin because you may miss heaven. God doesn't want you to sin because you won't be strong enough to do what you're called to do here.
Damn.
Y'all listen.
That's crazy.
Can you please, can y'all please just hit the like button real quick on this? That great like. Just everybody, we just deserve it. And y'all have to share this because y'all already see, we only 20 minutes in. People need this message right now because we just warming up. So please share this and like this joint so we can spread this message as far and wide as humanly possible so we can get some folks up in this joint right now.
Yeah, we out here because I don't even think people understand. I know I didn't understand. I'm just now. It's like it's really within the past, I would say, 3 or 4 months. Because I've even done the abstinent thing, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I've just had time to multiple times where I didn't experience extended period of time where I'm abstinent.
Yeah.
But even when I was abstinent, in my mind, I was just creating a little naughty list. You know what I'm saying? Just the things I was going to come back to.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, look, hey, I got 8 more months. I'll be back at that. You know, and now that I'm a chosen abstinence and I made a mistake. But this is the first time I ever felt like, what's the word? Like, really upset, like disappointed. Like, it's the first time I felt like I gave somebody something and they was undeserving. It's the first time I ever felt
she was
like
ugly.
That. And see, that's the thing. You say that, but that's
spiritually.
No. That's the thing because I had to think about that too.
Yeah.
I'm like, would I have felt like this if, if she was ugly. Is it, you know what I'm saying? But right. But it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. What is that? I don't even know what it is. It's just literally the first time ever.
It's conviction. Mm. It is the fact that you should be living higher than that. You should still not be a slave to the basis of your emotions. We're not animals, right? So I see fine women all the time. Getting married don't mean you don't see fine women, but it's about your decisions. The only way you can get to where you want to get to is all about your decisions. It's all about making the best decision at the best time that's going to lead me down the best path for my purpose and for my destiny. And that decision also includes who I'm communicating with, who I'm dating, who I'm sleeping with. So, I mean, we all make mistakes. But when you start feeling that level of frustration that you're feeling, that's because you're starting to disappoint yourself. Mm. When you start to disappoint yourself, that's why the scripture says, every other sin is without the body. Or when it says without, the King James means outside, right? So every other sin is outside of the body. Only sexual sin, you're doing it to yourself. Think about that. If I lie to somebody, I'm lying to them. If I cheat on somebody or whatever, not cheating as in far as sex, but if I, you know, extort somebody or steal money, right? But when I have sex, when I do something sexually illicit or sexually immoral, I'm literally sinning against me. I'm literally saying, I don't trust you enough. I don't believe in you enough, right? I don't care about you enough. I'm literally hurting myself. There's another scripture in the book of Proverbs that says, a foolish woman plucks down or breaks down her own house. Who would break down the house that they're living in? Hmm. Now, when it says foolish woman, it's not just dealing with a woman. It's dealing with people, right? All right. Why would you break down the house that you're living in? Remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So why would you break down? Why would you sin against you when this is the only body you got, right? So if I traumatize this, and then all throughout life, now I have to look through a lens of trauma because of my deliberate, repeated offenses against not just God, but against me, then I have to, you know, I'm telling you, I have to live with that. There is one pain greater than abstinence or greater than delayed gratification. And that's the pain of regret. You know what I mean? So you can either say, hey, I'm not going to have it and deal with the pain of not having it, or I'm going to have it, but deal with the pain of regret. You know what I mean? And dealing with the pain that I could have been spending this great time with somebody else that meant something, right? I could have been given this idea, this passion, this creativity. I could have been giving all of this energy to another project, making some money. And all I did was give her the same thing that the next guy going to give her.
Right.
You know, this is actually an extremely practical message.
Yes.
Because at the point where your purpose, your mission, your assignment is now going to be at the detriment of your sexual desires, don't do it. Like, it's literally that simple. And I don't think a lot of us have found that assignment. A lot of us are lost. We're wanderers, which is one of the most dangerous things that we can be doing, is wandering. And if you are not in your purpose, because when you in your purpose, when you in your assignment,
you're focused,
the level of fulfillment, the level of euphoria that you get when you're doing and accomplishing, you can have an orgasmic feeling in your purpose. So you got to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Figure out how to bust a nut in your purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Right.
That's wild.
It
right,
is.
Right. That's a t-shirt.
But
that's
you know wild. What I'm saying?
Don't ever put that on a t-shirt. Who would wear that on a t-shirt?
I won't put that on a t-shirt.
No.
But you got to feel my analogy here.
No, I don't want to feel nothing. That's crazy. But no. What you're saying is you need to be able to feel a level of fulfillment and satisfaction from your purpose and from your calling. And you shouldn't have to get that from a female or from an orgasm. No, yes. 100%. No, you're 100% right. Yeah.
So it makes sense though too. And it's just, and it's crazy because for me, it's the same thing. Like now I'm really seriously dating a young woman.
Yeah.
And like I went to go see her family and, you know, over Christmas. And,
oh man. Wow.
You know, yeah, that's what's right. happening right now.
Serious.
But now it's like, that's what I'm on. But I now understand too. I was talking to Ryan about it at the, like, we're playing at a level now.
Yeah.
Where these slip ups that can happen.
I'm telling you.
Like it just bringing, just to go ahead and have that orgasm.
Yeah.
Can bring down the, like it can bring down the empire
100%
at this point in time.
100%.
So we have to be very disciplined.
Yeah.
And like you said, be really aggressively achieving that level of mastery and fortifying ourselves.
But look at,
and sex is a weak spot, man.
But man, but look at what we're saying. It's like a man that does delay gratification for his purpose, for his destiny, for his calling, for his assignment. And he does get that kind of mentality where he's focused, where he's, you know, really focused on what God has called him to do, or just focused on his business or whatever the case may be. And he does start to find fulfillment. And he does start to find a level of satisfaction in that. Watch me. That becomes attractive to a female. A female loves to see a man fulfilled, right? And so what happens a lot of times is we don't know why we're not getting the female that we need. It's because we're not fulfilled. When we're not fulfilled, we don't attract the right people.
That's a fact.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
When we're not full, when we're not satisfied, we don't attract the right people. But if we're satisfied, we will attract people that ain't got nothing else to give us but to help us accomplish our purpose. You ain't got nothing you can give me. I done seen all the fine women and I done told them no. I got money. I'm focused on my calling, my career. You ain't got nothing to add to me but to be my woman. See, if you got a hole, if you got a gap, if you got a void, she's going to try to fill that void. She's going to automatically try to become something to satisfy you. That's pressure. That's pressure that she shouldn't have, right? You should be 100. You should be complete. You should be whole. You should be satisfied when we meet. So I'm not looking for her to satisfy me. Now, then sex becomes pleasure, not therapy.
Mm. Oh, damn. People using sex as therapy.
Man, I want to cuss.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yes.
No, you.
Sex is therapy.
I'm anxious. Have sex. I'm afraid. Have sex. I'm mad. Have sex.
I'm
disappointed. I'm depressed. 100%.
I'm lonely.
Have sex. And they're having sex and they get that momentary pleasure. But this is what's destroying relationships. They have sex. They get the momentary pleasure through the orgasm. But when they get up, they still feel empty.
Yep.
And then they start thinking like, why isn't this person fulfilling me?
Mm.
Why isn't this person satisfying me? You know why? Nobody can satisfy your lack of understanding your own purpose. No amount of sex can satisfy a lack of understanding of purpose. Dick don't replace destiny. No matter how you try to make it. No matter how much sex you have, it's not going to replace or satisfy that urge to accomplish something great for God.
And that is when sex truly becomes a drug.
Oh, 100%.
It gets reduced to a drug at that point when you're using it as the substance to escape whatever feeling you're experiencing at that point.
100%.
Which is truly dangerous.
That's why you just got those calls you make
throughout
the week. 10 o'clock, what you doing? 9 o'clock, what you doing? Yeah. Where you at? What you doing? Because that's your weed, man. That's your drug, man.
Your late night, little joint. That's your weed, man.
Men and women alike. And it gets so tricky too, especially because, you know, it's holiday
season.
It's holiday season right now, you know. And a lot of those feelings that you talked about, they definitely popped up on my shoulders. They popped up. I called Tyshawn. I said, bruh, I said, I need a wife.
Yeah.
I said, I need a wife because that thing, it was on me.
Yeah.
And I was available. That's the thing. I was with my family, but I don't have a.
Is like that a tear? It's hidden, Ryan. Ryan it's got hidden. The tears flowing
it's
tonight.
It's hidden. It was because it was really on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. I got my nuclear family, which is my mom, my grandma, but I don't have my own children.
Right.
So even when it comes to building, it was more so when I'm with my family, it's a check-in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm with my boys' family, it's just kind of the same thing. I'm kind of seeing what the model looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really building anything, my next leg, because it's just me.
Yeah.
And I was really thinking, and so after every evening, I would literally think, you know what? It'd be good. Some pussy be real good right now.
Yeah.
Chill with the family the whole day, ate some home cooked meal. Some pussy would be really, really good right now.
Yeah.
And I just could not shake it off. And I was detailing to Tyshawn that I think, and you let me know if this is accurate, but in my mind, I'm thinking that it's because I haven't decided to build that next generation and kind of family yet.
What the feeling of?
Not the feeling, but I felt like I was least less protected because I didn't have, because vacation, because this thing, for most people, or I think ideally for me, vacation would have been the time to kind of get where everybody at, you know, make sure everybody moving in the right direction. You know, you got to check ins with the fam. Yeah. It's kind of like you making sure everybody is the sale.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like days off.
Yeah.
And I think that's when a lot of the lust and stuff was creeping up on me. So, and that's what I'm kind of figuring out. Is that me using an excuse? Hey, I'm not just building a family right now, so I don't got that much going on. Or is it like, what do I need to do?
It's two things. Number one, the feeling of, man, I want some pussy is not a bad feeling. Number one, that's a masculine feeling. That's a man feeling. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think a lot of times in religion or in the church, we make people feel bad for wanting sex. We are sexual beings. And so because of that, we want intimacy. We want interaction. We want sex. We want communication. We want that level of friendship, camaraderie. We want that level of covenant because we are spiritual beings. So the first thing is don't demonize the feeling. Right. Mm. Now, how you manage the feeling, if you've managed it through trauma, through perversion, you know, everything that you've done in your puberty and you're still dealing with those same addictions or habits. Now, that's something that you need to address because that just shows a lack of growth, a lack of discipline, a lack of self-control. So you need to grow in those areas, and God gives you grace to grow in those areas. But the feeling of, man, I want a female, I want a woman, that's a good feeling because that's actually a sign that you've hit a certain place in your life. Right? You've hit a certain stage of maturity where you need that stability of sexuality and intimacy. That is a good thing. That is just, that's God telling you, all right, you've grown up. That's it. That's the Lord telling you, all right, it's time for you to settle down. It's time for you to have a partner, not just somebody that you can be promiscuous with, but a partner. And that's a good thing. That's always a sign of growth.
Mm. Man, this is heavy right now. I want you to give something special and let's talk to the people right now, because this is what they call right around these times of the month, cuffing season.
Right.
You know, so that feeling that we're describing, it can especially kick in right now.
100%.
And I don't know if that feeling is always authentic, you know, or right, even. So let's talk about that, because as it relates to, you know, the time of year where we want to just kind of lay up and have somebody to cuddle up with and be comfortable with, How should somebody manage those urges and desires? Because that's what we're kind of talking about now. Should we look at that or understand that might be a potential danger? Mm-hmm. Or is that also healthy in what you're describing? Is that the same as a genuine healthy desire to be someone, or can there be some unhealthy urges and wants associated with, you know, that?
No, 100%. So first of all, shameless plug, I have an app, right? I have an app. It's called the Brian Meadows app. Anybody that got Android, Google, Apple, just go to your app store, type in Brian Meadows, type in BRYANMEADOWS. It's a free app. You can download it. And literally I got like, 4 or 5 relationship series on the app. Catch Feelings, Not Flights, or Catch Flights, Not Feelings. We got Cakes. We got Sneaky Links. We got a lot of different relationships. Yeah, we got a lot of good relationship series. But one of our best relationship series is actually called Cuffing Season. That's probably like our highest watched or our highest listened to relationship series. It's called Cuffing Season because I deal with this a lot. Number one, I think it's already disrespectful, right, for you to only see me certain times of the year.
Wow.
I feel like that's disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to get rid of the commitment or get rid of the obligation, you know, in all the other parts of the year. And then when it starts to get a little cold, when the seasons start to change, all of a sudden you remember my phone number. How many times can you be disrespected and still give in to the same person, to the same relationship, to the same sexual experience? You've had it already. So how many times are you going to get disrespected? So to go back to Ryan's point, yes, to a degree, it is healthy. Because the need, the urge for intimacy and sexuality and communication is healthy and it is right. It is human. But bruh, if it only comes around when you need it, that's selfish. Mm. If you only engage it when you want it, when you're lonely, not talking about the other person, you just thinking about yourself, right? And you at home and you get lonely, you at home and you feel by yourself. And so you gonna hit up somebody and you gonna insert yourself into a life. They already doing their own thing. They may be dating somebody else new. They may be trying to live holy. They may be going after their purpose and their calling. But now all of a sudden, because you have a need, you hit them up. Hear me, whenever sex is initiated based on your desire and your need, it will always be selfish, and selfish intimacy will always be abusive. Nobody's gonna feel good after that, because right. You got yours. They didn't get theirs. I'm not talking about they got their orgasm. They could have got their orgasm, but did they feel valued? Did you hold them and tell them? Now, again, you got a lot of females that may not want that. They may be in cuffing season just like you, and it may be like a mutual type of thing. Then y'all just hurting each other. Y'all just, you know, kind of prolonging the inevitable, because both of y'all gonna wake up one day and say, dang, I want a husband, or yep, dang, I want a wife. Mm. And then y'all gonna have to have that conversation, and it's gonna be traumatizing. It's gonna be hurtful, and it's going to take a long time to get over it. So now when they marry, their husband is having to deal with you. Their husband can't really break through. Their husband can't have sex, get their whole heart. Now you can't either, because you're dealing with a wife and you figure it like, dang, why sex ain't hitting like it was before I got married? Because you done married somebody that did everything you did. I mean, you done married somebody that had four or five people that they've given their heart to, and now they're trying to find themselves in a marriage. Mm. Of course you're going to be frustrated. But how are you going to be frustrated when you made a female like that too?
Right.
You gave another guy a broken female. So now that you got a broken female, you can't be mad that you got a broken female. Fix the heifer. I mean, fix her.
No, well, I get it.
So how, well, hold on, first of all, I think that's a lot of brothers' fears, is to be able to mess around and get a woman. No matter how broken the brother might be, he's still scared to get a broken woman.
But you broke him, though.
That's the reality situation. So it's kind of crazy, because when I'm thinking about that, and you know, you might be in a situation with somebody who is broken. First of all, just to be clear,
yeah,
what does that look like, by the way? If a woman is broken mm-hmm. because of some people that she's been in a relationship, she hasn't dealt with things in the past.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay,
look like?
Ask this. Let me just say this real quick. Yeah. All right. Heifer was a joke. Let me just make sure I say that.
Oh, they know.
Heifer was a joke. My grandmama used the word heifer. It's just funny. But just want to make sure I say that. But all right, ask that one more time.
As far as it relates to the a broken woman.
Yeah.
If she's broken in a relationship, what does that look like? Like, how do you identify brokenness, man, especially if it's related to still being attached and not being fixed from old relationships?
Come on, man.
While you in one, especially while you in one.
How do you identify brokenness when stuff don't work? Think about if you have a technological device, a computer or something like that. If you press a button and that input don't produce the right output, that's a sign something's wrong.
Yeah.
So if I give you a compliment, the compliment should produce a level of appreciation, adoration, right? Celebration. So if I say, baby, you look good. If I put the input in and the output is, what you trying to say? Something ain't right. Mm. Something is broken, right? If I'm trying to express intimacy and I'm like, babe, what you doing today? Or, man, you know, I miss you. What's going on? Why you miss me? That's a sign something's broken. You know what I mean? So when stuff don't work right, when stuff don't talk right, when stuff don't act right, it's usually a sign that something is broken, right? Think about triggers. And I don't want to go into a long story, but I remember I was in elementary school and we had a literature teacher. And the literature teacher, she kept horses. That's what she liked to do. She was
equestrian. Oh, that's the word.
Yeah.
Okay, that's excellent.
Yeah,
Jewish.
They used to have an equestrian team at the when I was an undergrad. I remember that.
Yeah. She rode horses, right?
Okay.
So one day she went out and she was gonna get ready to ride a horse. So she was gonna bathe the horse and groom the horse before she rode it. What she didn't know is that the horse had got stung by a bee. And it had a bee sting underneath the belly of the horse. Mm. So while she goes to wash the horse, which is a good gesture, while she goes to take care of the horse and groom the horse, which is a phenomenal gesture, all of a sudden she ended up hitting an area that was wounded or area that was sensitive to the touch. She ended up hitting that bee sting. And when she hit that bee sting, that horse started going crazy. It ended up trampling her, like stomping on her. So she ended up having to get surgery. I mean, they told us that she had this accident. And I remember it was like 2 or 3 months after that. And the principal came into the room and she said, "Guess what? Miss So-and-so is back at school." And so everybody's like, "This is amazing. This is awesome." I mean, we were getting excited. Oh my God. It was like, "Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready?" We're like, "Come on, let's come on in." They opened the door. She came in. Everybody was like, "Ah!"
What happened?
She was a white lady. So when she got stomped by that horse, she was blue, she was black, she was green. She had bruises all over her.
Wow.
And it was scary. Now, that happened in the physical. What we don't see is the bruises on a person's soul. We don't see how many men done trampled over her. And the same with men, how many women done trampled over him. How many women done used him for his sex, for his money, for his status, for his notoriety, for his car, for whatever. And how many women been used for their body or for their house or for their money or whatever the case may be. When you do that to a person, you bruise their soul. So now all of a sudden you get with them and you don't know that. You don't know why when you hug them, ouch. I'm not talking about physically they say ouch, but there's a level of distrust. Right. If there's that distrust, something's broken. Mm. If there's a guard up, something's broken. If there's a lack of communication, something's broken. So that's usually how you tell that something's broken.
Wow.
Yeah.
And ideally, Pastor, we want to see and identify this while we dating. Correct.
Yeah. 100%. Because the single season should be the season that you use to get whole. The single season should be the season that you use to get healed.
Patch up
the wounds. Everything that you did before you got saved or before you met God, before you understood your purpose, get that stuff right, because it's going to be detrimental to the person you commit to. Now, they're going to have to work through all of those issues. You ever heard of scar tissue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So even when a scar heals, it develops tissue that you end up having to get rid of, lest it creates a callus or a hard place. And a lot of people, they've never gotten rid of the scar tissue. They've healed. They've tried to address it. They've went to counseling, but they've never gotten rid of the scar tissue. They still have a hard exterior because they're trying to protect something. They're trying to either protect their personality. They're trying to protect their sexuality that's been taken advantage of so many times. And you can't blame them for trying to protect what's most precious to them after people have abused it. But it does become hard when you marry somebody and they are so used to protecting themselves that they can't even be vulnerable with the person they said, "I do it."
Wow.
Guys, hold on. Wait, we just hit 14 people in the chat. It's growing very quickly. 1,400 people in here right now, and we still only got about 400 likes.
Yeah.
So let's push it to 600 real quick, guys. Go ahead and hit that thumbs up so we can go ahead and continue to spread this message. Let's get to 600. I just need 200 new people to press that thumbs up while we in here and enjoying this message.
I had to slow down the chat because the chat was getting a little crazy. So I just shut down the chat to initiates only.
Initiates only, baby.
Join the conversation tonight. So if you're not an initiate, you've been on the fence, but you're a subscriber and you love us, join the channel, support the channel. We got a bunch of great stuff coming for you guys. And plus, I mean, Pastor Meadows is just really taking the conversation to new heights right now. So we need the love, okay? Now, I want to just give a few shout outs.
Let's do it.
And a super chat.
Let's do it.
And then I want to talk some tactics too, because I don't want to be a player no more. And I'm sure it's a lot of people listening. They don't want to play the games no more either.
But
they keep getting sucked into it.
Yeah.
Pause.
No pun.
I was trying not to say that.
Hey, Real talk though.
His soul ain't all the way. You get soul ain't all the way clean yet, y'all. it's still in his subconscious, deeply in his subconscious. But go ahead.
So real quick, shout out to everybody showing loves, dropping the bottle. Shout out to Shati and Yali for dropping the memberships for the fam. Shout out to VJ for always getting us popped off with the super chat. And shout out to VJ. Every initiate who has joined us. And Shati did it twice. As a matter of fact, Shati is going nuts. But real quick. Shout out to Yas. Yas sent over a super chat, which we got to address. Then it's very important. She says, "What's up, HI team? I am a 43-year-old virgin."
Amen.
"This is normal in my country, but seen as abnormal in America." Now, the question is, what country are you from?
Drop your country.
Might be coming over there looking for a wife. So. Hypothetical question. Okay. Is it true that if I have sex with a man who is depressed or has low self-worth, that his energy would then be transferred to me?
The short answer is yes, but there are a few variables. Sex is the exchange of energy. Sex is spiritual. And when we say energy, another word for energy is just spirit. In Christianity, we use the word spirit. In other spiritual disciplines, they may use the word energy, but we're dealing with the same thing. When we say spirit, we're not talking about a ghost or a little person. We're talking about an energy, right? Anger has an energy. Lust has an energy. Fear has an energy. So if you lay down repeatedly, that's why I say the caveat is the variable is many times the consistency or the frequency of you laying down, right? If you lay down with somebody one time, are you going to get attached to them to a degree? Yes, but the attachment may not be strong. Now, let's go ahead and work this. When we talk about a covenant, another word for covenant is the word soul tie. And I'm sure we've all heard the word soul tie, right?
Yeah.
It's a covenant. Now, when we talk about a soul tie is like an umbilical cord. All right. It is in order for something to transfer, in order for something to travel spiritually, there must be a conduit or there must be a channel upon which that spiritual thing transfers or travels. That is what we call a soul tie, right? A soul, the soul is the will, the mind, the emotion. So when we say soul tie, we're just talking about a connection in the will. That's our decision. So whenever we both make a decision to do something together, we make the same decision. There's going to be a connection to a certain degree. All right. So the will, the mind, how we think. And that's usually going to be promulgated through conversation. When a man talks, yeah, I see it this way. She's going to be saying, oh, I see it this way. The more y'all converse and communicate, you're going to start feeling a bit of connection. So the mind, the will, and then the emotions. When y'all feel the same thing, when y'all have experiences that garner or instigate the same type of emotion. So if you go through a car accident and both of y'all have a level of fear together, that fuses a soul together. Y'all go to a movie, y'all go to an event, a concert, and both of y'all are having a phenomenal time. That fuses the soul together. So whenever you're having these types of interactions, there's gonna be a level of connection. But many times, it's about the frequency of the connection that will determine what travels or what transfers. If you lay down with a man that is depressed, insecure, if you lay down with a man that is fearful, unproductive, over time, his way of thinking is going to infect yours, right? Because if he's doing nothing with his time, guess what you're doing when you're sleeping with him? You're doing nothing with your time. So it becomes this repeating cycle. You're gonna inevitably become like the people you entertain the most. Right? The scripture says it like this: bad company corrupts good character. So, or, you know, another adage says birds of a feather flock together. If you hang around a person long enough, you're going to pick up their mind, will, emotion, their soul, or you're going to pick up how they feel, how they think, how they process, and the way they make decisions. So yeah, you're going to get a little bit of that, but may not happen in the first go round.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But the more you do it, you're going to get a little bit of that.
You know what I think is relevant? We spoke about this prior. On the phone before the show, you talked about different ways that you can, start tying that thing together. And you even went into some of those sacred fluids. Can you really, can you break that down for us?
That
was heavy. So could you let the people know what sacred fluids are?
Yeah. So I like to use the word liquid, fluid. You can use the word fluid, liquid. It doesn't matter. But Leviticus 17 and 11, just to make sure that people understand that this is biblically based.
Good.
But Leviticus 17 and 11 says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh, that word life is what gives us animation, right? And Adam became a living soul. The word life is the word vitality. So our vitality is in the blood, but not just in the blood. There's other sacred liquids as well. And we'll go through those. But that's why when you start to lose blood, you start to feel weak, because blood is a source of strength. Your blood gives you strength and vitality and life. So when you lose blood, you start to lose strength. But there is other sacred liquids. When God created the human being, he made us so phenomenal. That's why the scripture says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, because he made us so sovereignly and so strategically. Every part of us is purposeful. Every single part of the human being is purposeful. So he created us and he gave us sacred liquids. Number one, tears, right? Tears are a sacred liquid. If you read the book of Revelation, it actually says that God stores up your tears. Every single tear that you shed, God takes an account of that tear. That is how significant and valuable your tears are. Sweat. The scripture says in Luke chapter 22 that when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed so hard that he sweated. Now, when was the last time you prayed until you sweated? When you have sex, you sweat. No, I'm just saying, look at how much energy you're putting in the bed and what is that producing? And you're not even putting that same amount of energy behind prayer. Right. Think about that.
In fact, they're trying not to break a sweat.
They're trying not to break a sweat.
Right, real quick.
Yeah, no, man. You got to put some energy and some passion and some effort and some time behind those spiritual disciplines. So sweat, right? Sweat is a sacred liquid. We talked about if you're a man, semen. Semen is a sacred liquid. Of course, blood is a sacred liquid as well. So these are all sacred liquids and they hold a level of life. And when you start to dispense those, when you start to get rid of those, or when they begin to leak out, you will begin to lose strength. You'll begin to lose vitality. So sometimes, even though you want to cry, you need to keep those tears because this situation ain't worth your tears. Don't give up your energy. Don't give up your strength to a situation that ain't worth it, right? Who you're working with. When we're talking about perspiration and sweat, we're talking about who you rolling with, who you working with, who you doing life with, who you doing purpose with, who you building with. Who you're building with is very significant. It's very important because you could be putting out sweat, perspiration, effort, and time into something that's not going to become anything great, into something that won't produce. And so who are you building with? So those are sacred liquids. Maintaining those, guarding those, or managing those is how you manage life.
Yeah.
How you manage the release of blood, sweat, tears, semen, how you release the management of that is one of the ways that you manage life. And I'm forgetting one of those. I'm going to get
it. I think there's another level too when we start talking about also exchanging.
100%. Come on.
So now the exchanging of those joints, what happens in many ways when we start to now get into the consistent habits of exchanging fluids with, you know, different men and women?
I mean, think about if a police, if they're doing a DNA test, right? What do they take the DNA from? They don't take your blood. They swap your mouth. You know why? Because your DNA is in your saliva. So that means when you're kissing, you're not just sharing a moment. You're not just sharing an experience. You're sharing yourself because in your saliva is your DNA. This is why Jesus, when he wanted to recreate a man's eye, what did he do? He spit in the ground, took the spittle, that means spit mixed with dirt. He took the mud and put it on the man's eye so that the man could see again. He put his DNA in the dirt. Spit holds our DNA, right? Blood holds our DNA. Semen holds our DNA. So yes, when we are exchanging those things, it's not just an exchange of a moment. It's the exchange of energy and a person. It's an exchange of personality. And that's why y'all start having the same cadences and the same rhythms and finishing each other's sentences and having the same jokes and having the same humor. Y'all start liking the same stuff. You know why? Because as y'all are sleeping together, as y'all are kissing, as y'all are sharing moments together, it's not just moments that are being shared. It's DNA that's being shared. And that's where the fusion process comes in. Remember, the whole purpose of sex is to fuse two souls together. So for this cause, will a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife? Cleave, that's consummation. The consummation was the marriage bed. So that's when the cleaving happened. That's when the fusion happened. And that's when two became one and you could not separate them. That's why the scripture says, let these two that God has joined together, let no man be able to put them asunder. Because literally the process of sex is the fusion of souls, mind, will, and emotions. And it's that spiritual process that makes it so hard to get over somebody when you do decide to detach or kind of move on. So yeah, it's those sacred liquids. So you're not just sharing liquids or saliva, you're sharing DNA.
Man, let me tell you, this is so heavy tonight. I'm very excited to let y'all know that initiates, we are going to do the initiation hotline tonight. All right.
I know when the hotline blink.
What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we are going to drop that link in the chat. Okay. And for those of you who don't know, I'm going to go ahead and break it down how it works. The initiation hotline, when you go ahead and click that link, all you need to do is put your name in there. Make sure you turn on your camera. Make sure you put your lighting on. You're not going to instantly come up. You got to be patient. You'll wait backstage. Be patient. And we'll let you guys come up so you can ask Pastor Brian Meadows questions as you guys come in here. Because we want y'all to get this game, too. We want y'all to be a part of the conversation.
That's a fact. And the super chats always hit a little bit harder they smack a little bit harder when we got the passes on.
They always do.
I'm just being honest.
They always do.
Because we get, you know, me and Todd Force, and we get free super chats. Because I'll definitely be sliding my personal questions up in here.
Yeah.
So, guys, if y'all got some personal questions, go ahead and slide those in too. Send a super chat. Jump on the hotline because myself, Tyshawn, and the Pastor Brian Meadows want to hear from y'all today.
But does that make sense, though?
Yes.
Talking about the sacred liquids, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Because think about everything that you do with sweat when you're working out, when you're trying to, you know, reach a goal or whatever the case may be. Just think about, you know, when you're crying, think about the moments that you're shedding, you know, that you're shedding tears in. Think about the time that you've shed blood. All of those are very significant sacred events and sacred moments. Hopefully we understand that. Hopefully we understand that managing life is a lot of managing your sacred liquids. That's one of the ways that you preserve your vitality, that you, one of the ways that you protect your passion so that you can accomplish your purpose.
I'm telling you, we got to keep it. Keep all of your liquids. Straight up. I hope, because it's this specific talk, because it's me.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you think you got everything lined up, you know what I mean? You see a lot of these things, this message about sex, and you think, because I'm single, these things don't apply to me.
100%.
Because I'm not looking for a long-term relationship right now, these things don't apply to me. You confused, because I was confused.
Yeah.
These things absolutely apply. I know y'all trying to kick the different ways. I don't try them all. You try to kick it with the friends with benefits. It ain't nothing free.
Yeah, 100%.
It ain't nothing free. So I hope y'all really listen to this message, because I'm listening.
And it's tough. It's tough for all of us, man. And, you know, even you know, a lot of the fellas, you try to play it like it affects women. It don't affect us.
No, it affects
like
us.
That's another big one. And, you know, trust me, when it comes to when we talk about the purpose concept.
Yeah.
I think the fellas need that one so deeply. I think we really can do a whole show on really understanding and prioritizing your purpose over all of these other aspects of life, these other desires that you're going to have that eventually pull you, essentially are pulling you away,
yeah,
and taking energy away from your assignment.
You know,
and that's really what it comes down to.
Man, it seems unfair because of how society is set up, they take advantage of us being sexual beings. And let me show you what I mean. And again, women have it hard too, but I think we've made it hard on women, right? Think about the 30s and the 40s. It wasn't hard on women because women weren't sexual objects. We were not putting pressure on them to look a certain way, to have a certain body. No, we were putting pressure on them to cook, to clean, to be able to do the thing. And y'all just hear me, to be able to do the things that a wife should be able to do. Right? We put pressure on that. They were wearing skirts down to their ankles. Nobody knew what they looked like. You understand what I'm saying? But they were putting pressure on them to be wives. Slowly but surely, as men became more perverted, the human heart has always been deceitful and wicked. But as culture became more perverted, we changed the function of women from managing the home. I'm not just saying the house. When I say the home, I'm not just talking about the building, but I'm talking about the family unit, right? Managing the family unit, managing the children, making sure there's legacy and destiny and all of that. We changed that from just pleasing a man. So they have pressure too. But I want you to understand how hard it is for a man, right? Number one, as spiritual beings, we're all sexual beings. But sexuality for a man is tied to our masculinity. It's tied to our intent. I want to say our purpose, but it's tied to our wiring. For women, it's different. See, for a man, if he doesn't get sex, he starts to feel a certain type of way. You follow me? Because a man is supposed to get sex. A man is a sexual being. He's supposed to go out on the prowl. He's supposed to, you know, go out and hunt and then, you know, conquer. So that's a part of who we are as a man. Are y'all here?
I'm right here.
All right, hear me. What develops character is when you're able to maintain a position when energy is going in two opposite directions. I'm gonna say it again. What builds character is when you can maintain your position when energy is going in two opposite directions, all right?
Mm.
It's called resistance training. Every athlete, if he's gonna build muscle, he has to do resistance training. The only way a man can build character is through resistance training, meaning that the moment we hit puberty, the moment we start to get the moment we start hitting puberty, we already can have a baby. I'm talking about 13, 14. We can already have a baby then. Right. Why would God give us the ability to have a baby then, but then say, don't have a baby? Because it's us maintaining our position while energy is going in two opposite directions that develops character, is resistance. It's when I can and I don't that I develop what I call willpower. And that's what a man needs to lead his family. And that's why sexuality is activated in a man early, but he has to control it until he's married, because that stage or that season where he's controlling his sexuality, he's actually building character. He's building the ability to say no to another woman. He's building the ability to have focus and to stay disciplined, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You can't do that if you get what you want. And that's why if you're a baby, like a baby boy, and that mama give that baby boy everything he wants, he becomes spoiled, he becomes entitled, he becomes abusive, because a boy ain't supposed to get everything he wants. That's what develops the manhood and the masculinity in a boy. No, I'm not going to give it to you. You're going to work for it. And that's what develops work ethic and discipline. We don't teach that. And we don't develop that. So we have a whole bunch of brat boys. We have a whole bunch of men that feel like they should get whatever they want, whenever they want it. And if a female don't give it to them, they'll hold. They ain't nothing. It's like, what made you think you're supposed to get anything you want?
Right.
Right. Without working for it, without establishing integrity and trust and communication. So that's why sexuality is activated in a man at a young age, but he's not supposed to utilize it into an age of maturity, because that stage is supposed to develop character.
Man,
needs to really be in more households.
We gotta preach sex, man. We gotta preach it. We gotta disciple men in sexuality.
Yeah, because if you don't think about it to, you know, 30, 40 years old, or until you're getting ready to get married, it's a beast.
You're gonna be destructive up until that point.
Yeah, and when you try to cool it down, because this was a while ago. You remember when Kevin Hart was on that apology tour?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand then, you know, of course, I think I just wasn't mature enough to kind of understand what he was saying. But what he was saying, because it was like, Charlamagne was like, well, you know, how are you going to stop cheating? Yeah. You know, and he's like, well, he's like, I ain't been going nowhere. I've locked myself in the house. I told all along. And I remember thinking, man, come on, man. You know, ain't nobody should be locking themselves in the house because you can't. Now,
bruh,
I understand what he was saying, because his temptation is millions times more than my temptation.
Right, right.
And I'm like, do I gotta lock myself inside the house? Because it's a beast trying to get this thing up off you, especially if you went through your entire life.
100%.
And the best advice that I got about sex was use it responsibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best. And and I didn't know responsibly meant if it meant the amount of times, if it meant it's just use responsibly. So, yeah. Of course, whatever I leveled in my head what responsible was, I'm going out there and using it.
Yeah.
Nobody telling me how deep of a hole I was digging myself.
100%.
If and when I decide to go things about another way.
Bro, even sex is beautiful within marriage. It is destructive and ugly outside of marriage. I want y'all to think about this. Sexuality is the electricity of a person's personality, right? Fueled by passion. Within this moment and activity of pleasure. Think about electricity, right? In order for all these lights to run, you need electricity. But electricity flowing through that wire without a casing is dangerous.
Yeah.
It will electrocute you. It will shock you, right? Think about a bullet. A bullet is nothing. I can have a whole bunch of bullets in my hand. I can throw them at you. It will do nothing unless the bullet is placed in the right technology or in the right thing, which is a weapon. An arrow is nothing without a bow. I want you to understand, sex outside of marriage doesn't have the full power, explosiveness, intent, purpose, function that sex is supposed to have. It's just like having a bullet outside of a gun. It's not going to accomplish its purpose. It can go further, be more powerful if you put it in the right place. And sex is the same thing. Sex is awesome. Sex is wonderful. But it only accomplishes its purpose when you put the bullet in the gun, when you put sex in marriage. And now you can actually do some great things. But outside of that, it's going to be destructive. Put a bullet in a microwave and watch it blow up.
Mm.
It'll blow up everything. And if you put a bullet, or if you put sex in a microwave,
If you put sex in a fast relationship, it will blow up everything because everybody's just trying to get their orgasm. They're just trying to get their needs met at the expense of the other person's health, at the expense of the other person's mental and emotional health. Give me my orgasm, even if you got to go to counseling because of it. You think that's going to work out? You think that's going to develop the foundation for a good marriage? Most people are married and they are taking the anger out that they got on all the other folks that done hurt them, and they're taking it out on their spouse.
Mm. I could totally see that.
Pastor, you know how dangerous sex is when you're not married?
I know how dangerous it is.
Well, let me tell you how dangerous it is. We got to use protection. We got to protect ourselves with that joint.
100%. I don't know where you're going with this.
No, he's just saying condoms. The fact that you have condoms to use protection.
Okay, got you.
Condoms.
I thought we was having like a moment of...
No confessions going on.
Okay,
no,
I thought we was a confession. I ain't know.
But I'm just saying, like, condoms just represent us acknowledging...
That is 100.
It's ongoing.
We even putting some safety measures in place to protect me from you. I'm protecting myself from you.
Right.
That's what it is.
But and the condom can protect you physically, but it can't protect you spiritually.
It sure doesn't.
Because you still getting that energy. You still getting that trauma. You still getting that disappointment, that hurt. You still feel devalued. You feel going home lonely. You still wondering, is they thinking about you? And they, you know, you still dealing with that. And so that's detrimental to the soul, your confidence, right? Your dignity, your nobility, your ability to walk upright, your ability to, you know, have confidence in the face of fear is snatching all of that away. And then we're realizing why so many people are dealing with anxiety. Everybody that approaches them, we wondering what they want from me. Because every single person that comes to you is trying to get something from you. Imagine the first man that she meets that don't want nothing from her. Imagine the first woman that he meets that don't want nothing from him. See, now we can accomplish purpose because I'm not at the behest of your perversion. I'm not only here to satisfy your need. We can actually accomplish something. Wow.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.